Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am super excited to speak to you today. I've got a wonderful show on cancer, something that has touched everybody at one time or another in their life, hopefully not, but nonetheless, that is the stark reality. One out of four had it when we declared the war on cancer in the 70s. We're down to one out of three, approaching one out of two. We didn't have it 400 years ago, not because we couldn't identify it, but because it was rarely happening. And yet now we're being told it's genetic in its origin and it's the genes. Well, the genes haven't changed in 400 years. How do we account for the absolutely astronomical increase in its presence? If you get nothing else from this show today, ladies and gentlemen, get that. Question to you, and let's begin the show. What does the embryo, fetal development, sperm meets egg, and you make this little thing in there we call an embryo. What does that have to do with cancer? In 1900, John Beard, a Scottish surgeon, Edinburgh, Scotland, at the turn of the last century, had an interesting idea. He was nominated for the Nobel Prize. You haven't heard the name John Beard. The word trophoblast means nothing to you. In the next 60 minutes, I'll make sure it does. Relax yourself, open your minds. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. There is no show like this in America. This show asks you to integrate medicine. This is not something you can find on the internet. This is not a collection of interesting facts. This is not a website or a radio show that sells supplements. Let the others do that. That's their role. My role is to ask you to learn to integrate medicine. If you're sitting there asking yourself why you're not getting what you want out of your life in terms of your health, it's because you don't have the education. You've mistaken education for fact-finding and all sorts of propaganda. This show asks you to reach deeper. So reach deeper with me today. Three words I want you to take. You've heard them on my other shows. My other shows in the past week or two on oxidative stress, on the mystery of DNA, on autophagy. Show 135, 136, 137. Three words I've been setting you up for with this show. Three words. Apoptosis, senescence, and malignancy. If you took all the people with all the diseases, long before they were ever diseases, and you had the pathologist look at their cells, long before all the people with all the diseases ever got sick, long before those people even had a symptom, what you would find, what the pathologist would find, looking at the collection of cells under the microscope, are cells that are being oxidatively damaged. If you don't know what I mean, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, get the archives, and get hip. Right now, we'll just say, a cell is a grape, and when free radicals have knocked enough holes in the skin of the grape, that cell is oxidatively damaged. Free radical damage to the point where it looks like a broken down house. Long before those cells and all those people looked at by all those pathologists under all those microscopes get to the point where you feel a symptom, worse yet, you have a disease, a diagnosis, worse yet, you're dying. Long before, those cells will become senescent. Now, there's a word, but as you well know, I just won't leave you with words. Picture number four. So get to the radio literature section. If you're new to the show, the radio literature section, click it on for today's show and pop up picture number four. Great big beautiful picture in the middle. It's green. Senescence is the word. Old people, and you're not old, you're getting younger. But people that go the other way ultimately become senescent, senile, useless. They sit there in a chair. They can't move. They can't think. They can't see. They can't hear. They can't smell. They can't taste. They're not functional. Your cells, long before you get sick, begin to get senescent. Ultimately, that's uselessness. It's senility. I don't mean senility like old people are senile. I mean senility or senescence like uselessness. Your heart does not work. Your kidneys do not work. If we look at the cell is not malignant. The cell is not cancerous. The cell is simply not functioning. Well, the cell has an internal intelligence, and that internal intelligence may produce suicide, cellular suicide. Signals go to the DNA. Signals from the DNA go out to the organelles of the cell. And via the lysosome, the pit bull demolition crew of the cell is signaled to commit suicide. But it'll do this in stages. It'll begin to show, the organ will begin to show signs of apoptosis. I won't just leave you with words. Picture number one, picture number two. Look at the colors. The colors are better. Picture number two, the apoptosis process, the apoptotic process. The cell's damaged, stressed, triggered by bodily signals, and it ends up just blowing itself to smithereens. If this is unbridled, unsupervised, completely and absolutely out of control, like the bonfire, ultimately, your organ just, in a sense, explodes. It doesn't become senescent, it just disintegrates. There are two different things amounting to the same type of problem. Point. Long before those cells become senescent or apoptotic, we can see this coming. Check out my other shows on oxidative stress, like show 132, show 134, show 136. Autophagy, the DNA, the oxidative damage to the DNA. Today we're talking about cancer. Today we're talking about Donald Kelly. Today we're talking about Nick Gonzalez. Today we're talking about the Hohwang Clinic in Germany. Today we're talking about options for you, because you may have cancer. You know people who have cancer. And the jig is up. If you'll take the time to get educated, you'll make better choices for your life. And as long as our American flag allows us freedom of choice through the Constitution, that is your choice to do so. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. Treatments for cancer on many levels are largely a crock. They are ignorance, and over the next 100 years, we'll look back at some of these treacherous, grossly invasive treatments and realize how foolish we were. And that's an understatement. Donald Kelly had an idea. Donald Kelly needed to have an idea. Donald Kelly, back in the 50s, 60s, Donald Kelly had terminal cancer. He was an orthodontist, and he had pancreatic cancer, metastasized basically all over his body. Stage four, goodbye. There's nothing left to say. Write your will and write it quickly. Pancreatic cancer, the Patrick Swayze cancer, takes you quickly. I spoke to Donald Kelly. I had the honor, 32 years later, in his early 80s, a year or two before he died. I spoke to him in the year 2004, the summer of 2004. I spoke to him on the phone from his, I guess what was no more than a small home in the middle of nowhere in Texas. His story is legion. Donald Kelly cured his own cancer. Pictures of Donald Kelly. I've done a lot for you. Picture number 17. Look at that face. Look at that man. You ever know anybody with terminal pancreatic cancer? The guts, the intelligence, the discipline of mind. This is back in the 60s. To come out of that and live 32 years later without a trace. He died of congestive heart failure. If I were to say it from my perspective, he died of a broken heart. for good reason. We won't get into that today. I put a couple of links up there on Donald Kelly, especially the relationship between Donald Kelly and protege Nicholas Gonzalez. Nick Gonzalez is a medical doctor that interned with Kelly under the direction of Dr. Robert Good. Robert Good was a medical doctor with a doctorate. Robert Good, to his credit, was director of cancer research at Sloan Kettering, MD, PhD. Can you get any more credentialed? Nick Gonzalez was being mentored by him. Nick Gonzalez was later to be mentored by Donald Kelly, because Nick Gonzalez, coming from conservative orthodoxy, lived with Kelly, worked with Kelly, studied Kelly's results, and he was astounded, absolutely astounded by the depth and effect of Kelly's work. Dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of cases of terminal cancer resolved, fixed, cured through the Kelly program. And Gonzalez, with all his clout, now remember, he's under the direction of Dr. Robert Good, MD, PhD, Director of Cancer Research at Sloan Kettering. These are the real guys, including Robert Good. These aren't the bozos. These aren't the idiot orthodoxy. These are true scientists. And one true scientist ran cancer research at Sloan Kettering and told his young protege, Nick Gonzalez, look, if there's something there to learn, study this guy. Nick Gonzalez, to his credit, did more than study with Kelly. Nick Gonzalez stayed with Kelly a long time. Nick Gonzalez is in practice today in New York City with Linda Isaacs, his colleague, both medical doctors in New York City. They practice today, and they've evolved the Kelly protocol, which we'll get into later. The point is, if I say the word to you, Donald Kelly, if you look his name up, if you look at these books, this is no joke. This man did it. The other guy was Gerson, Max Gerson. We'll talk about him perhaps another day. Today we're talking about Donald Kelly. His story is fascinating, and his contribution is massive. And it lives under the sheets, under the covers, under the dust. It's not out there circulating. It needs to be. So Donald Kelly has terminal cancer, looks for a solution, and he finds it on the back of a man named John Beard. John Beard was a Scottish physician. I want to give you a little insight into Donald Kelly. First, check picture number 22. The treatment, the enzyme treatment of cancer and its scientific basis. This is John Beard. He's a Scottish physician in the year 1900 or so. And he's got an idea about the origin of cancer. He was nominated for the Nobel Prize, I believe, in 1912. He didn't win it, but he was nominated for it because what he said made sense. His version of what drives cancer, it's called the trophoblastic theory. Gonzalez wrote a book on it. Kelly, many, many years earlier, heard of it, read about it, and it made sense. So you're talking about a Donald Kelly with a terminal diagnosis in the middle of nowhere with no options, the worst you can get, pancreatic cancer. Maybe this was a blessing, right? Maybe it was a blessing because he didn't have a surgical option. Maybe this was a blessing because he had to reach down deep into his soul. And that's a part of the story that's going to be very relevant, as I'll interpret it for you. That Donald Kelly had to reach deeply into his soul with no time, really, really, really under the gun. Looked up out of the dust the name John Beard, the enzyme treatment of cancer. Let's have an understanding of what John Beard was saying. But first I'll give you my perception of it to make it easier for you to understand. And then we're going to go to that article that if you're in the literature section, you can see easily. There's a couple of paragraphs that are so important. I want to read them to you. And then the whole article is up there on top with one of the links. Click those links in your spare time. In any event, I want you to go to picture number 25. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I hope you're at your computer. If you're driving, I'll describe it as best I can. When you get home, get to straighttalk.cc. If you're listening on the radio, get to your computer. Get to straighttalk.cc, not .com, two T's. Get their radio literature section, picture number 25. Take a look at picture number 25. The sperm meets the egg. And after the sperm meets the egg, the cells divide. And after the cells divide again, and then the cells divide again, and that's the little embryo starting to form. So if you look at picture number 25, you're starting with an unfertilized egg, and then it's a zygote, it gets fertilized, and then it's two cells, then it's four cells, then it's eight cells, then it's called a morula, M-O-R-U-L-A. It's a 16-cell little blob. 16 cells. Your whole divine being is now 16 cells. Now look at the early blastula, blastula. You see that outer ring? That outer ring is called a trophoblast. Trophoblast. That outer ring is called a trophoblast. And what I want you to understand is on the next picture, picture number 24. That trophoblast, that outer ring, is going to start to divide. And if you're looking at picture 24, you can see how that outer ring has divided into the inner cell mass. I want you to look at the picture. This is picture 24. So we went from picture 25 to picture 24. Picture tells 1,000 words. You cannot fully absorb this. Again, you're getting the basic fundamental trophoblastic theory that Donald Kelly used and evolved to cure his disease, which is real, which is not made up, which is not exaggerated, and then spread it to others, which Nick Gonzalez, looking to critique Kelly's protocol, looking in a sense to destroy Kelly's name, his protocol, looking to find that Donald Kelly was a fraud, under the tutelage of Dr. Robert Good, MD, PhD, Director of Cancer Research at Sloan Kettering. This is not a joke. This is not a fairy tale. This is not an exaggeration. This is exactly like it was. But you have to understand what a trophoblast is. I just showed it to you. In that later stage, there's an outer ring of cells. The last page, the last picture, you saw it, and an inner ring. That outer ring of cells divides up, in a sense, or evolves to picture 24. So you're looking at picture 24. Do you see the inner cell mass? That inner cell mass is going to become the embryo. That's going to form a head and legs and arms. And that outer cell mass is going to become the placenta. The outer cell mass was a bunch of cells called a trophoblast. As it starts to become the placenta, it's called a cytotrophoblast. C-Y-T-O-T-R-O, blast, blah, blah. Cytotrophoblast. Now get that. I want you to take that into yourself. I want you to look at it. It's not complicated. It's easy. Sperm meets egg, and you have a division between an inner cell mass and an outer shell. That outer shell starts to eat into the uterus of the woman. That outer shell, the cytotrophoblast, starts to eat. It digests into the uterine wall, the mother's uterus. That digestion of that blob into the mother's uterus is what we call the placenta. The placenta. And some women eat their placenta. Midwives will tell the mother, eat the placenta. It's filled with pluripotent stem cells. I want you to connect this. We have today in midwifery. I didn't say witchcraft. I said good, trained, hard-studied females, usually, that are joyous about birth. This advice they give women, to eat the placenta after the mother births. She eats her own placenta. This is done in nature. This is done in human practice because it is known. It is science. It is hard science that the placenta is health for the mother because it is filled with stem cells. Cells to rejuvenate the mother off all that she's going to be drained through birth and possibly killed before we had cesareans. So that trophoblast is metastasizing into the uterus. That trophoblast is eating its way through the uterus. That trophoblast essentially is a cancer. Because if you look at the cells in the trophoblast or the placenta, they look like cancer cells. Number one, they are undifferentiated. So when a cell makes another cell, that cell clones itself. It clones itself. It reproduces itself through meiosis, mitosis, to completion. It reproduces itself to completion. That's not what cancer is. Cancer is a reproduction of the cell to incompletion. And then that incomplete cell reproduces to incompletion and incompletion and incompletion and incompletion. And repetition and reproduction is unsupervised. It's going too fast and it's incomplete. It's a chicken without a head. It's running fast with nowhere to go. It's like people live their lives sometimes. Nothing's ever completed and we just keep going faster and faster and faster. We're out of control. There's nothing supervising. So we say that one cell reproduces into an undifferentiated second cell. And this goes on and on and on. That's what a cancer's malignancy looks like. With all its metastatic possibilities. A malignant tumor can go somewhere else and that transplant can eat itself through good tissue, just like it's eating itself through the good tissue of the mother's uterus. Now, in this case, why? Because that new blob, which we don't call a malignancy, we call it the placenta. It serves as the dividing line between the mother and the baby. And through that placenta, the baby receives its nourishment. Fascinating. Now, John Beard had a concept here. So let's go to that article. Again, not the links up on top, but the article itself. Let's go to page number one. So this is going to be then picture number six. Picture number six, which is page, the first page of that article, square six. Cancer as defined by the Kelly Program. The Kelly Program defines cancer according to John Beard's theory. John Beard, 1858 to 1924, a Scottish embryologist, theorized that cancer is identical to the trophoblast. Cancer is an irresponsible trophoblast, quote Beard, 1905. In this respect, cancer is a normal, necessary part of life. Look at that statement. Nominated for the Nobel Prize in 1912. Where are those doctors today? Could it be that in 1912, without pharmaceutical intervention, doctors could see things they can't see today? Scientists could see things they can't see today. Could it be that science is not so objective? Could it be that that garbage lie that you listen to from the men in white, who often say, no double-blind study supports this statement. Maybe they've got a bag over their heads. Maybe they're not the scientists they think they were. Maybe the scientists of yesteryear could see more clearly. Perhaps there was a place back then for God inside the science. not the issue of today's show. The issue of today's show is Donald Kelly cured his cancer. He was studied by credentialed people who came from credentialed people. There is no doubt that Nick Gonzalez studied hundreds of cases of terminal cases that were completely cured. Sit on that before you decide this is fraudulent. So the Kelly program is off the work of John Beard. And then this article will go on to talk about, as the small blood vessels, well, I'll leave that for you. But what we come to quickly, you can see in picture number, page number 7. In other words, square number 7. Just on that left side, I'll leave you with this. Picture number 7. Upper left side, down 2 paragraphs, so upper left corner. Malignancy, therefore, is not normal tissue that has gone into wild proliferation, but rather normal trophoblastic tissue that is growing in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is in square number 7, as this article is starting to conclude. Read it on your own time. Malignancy, therefore, as Beard is understanding it, is not normal tissue that has gone into wild proliferation. It's not insanity, but rather normal trophoblastic tissue that is growing in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's fascinating, if you consider it. Now, what was later studied is that all tissue expresses a hormone called human chorionic gonadotropin hormone. And that's the standard hormonal marker of germ cell tumors. Pregnancy. But it was discovered, and Krzyzewski, on that same page, support for Beard's cancer theory, a man named Krzyzewski is mentioned. Krzyzewski was a scientist in 1994. I have some links that showed that every cell of the body has these trophoblastic placentian cells in it. Every cell of the body is given from birth, dispersed throughout the gazillions of cells, these hormonal markers that can begin to do the same thing that the placenta does. Every cell of the body bears an imprint, a remnant trace of this original capacity through the pluripotent cell to begin to morph and replicate itself in that undifferentiated way. And this has been studied, and so I put a link up there through Krzyzewski, a scientist, along with others, that has made this supposition by Beard even more of an observation. There has been more science put to the trophoblastic theory. So what are we coming to here? We're coming to a man that cured his cancer. We're coming to a man that took much of what was proposed here and helped cure others. We have a man who's been studied closely by very credentialed people, and we know that this man was the real thing. That on top of it, in later days, more technology, with more science, through Krzyzewski and others, have found that each cell is its own, in a sense, latent trophoblast, which means it's capable of its own malignancy. Why are cells going malignant? That's the perception. Well, some say, Kelly said, in a sense, that when a cell goes to malignancy, it's being triggered not to autophagy, not to apoptosis. It's being triggered not to senescence. It's being triggered to make a last-ditch effort to save itself by reincarnating itself. I want you to take that into yourself. I want you to take that into yourself, that a cell under massive oxidative stress will hit a point where if it's not going to kill itself, apoptosis, or if it's not just going to sit there in a wheelchair and become senescent, it's going to make a last-ditch effort to reincarnate itself, to rebirth itself, to resurrect itself. Only under the gun to its head, it doesn't do it correctly. It's a cue. It's an attempt. It's an attempt to be reborn, to resurrect. Except that this resurrection is unsupervised. Except that the body's not controlling it. Now, there's something to think about. The cancer is a survival mechanism for an overly burdened body. The problem is, once you trigger it, perhaps it's too late to just take it easy, to take it slow. Perhaps once it knocks at your door and tells you there's not much time to live, you have 6 months, you have a year, perhaps there are so many things wrong. There are so many lifestyle changes to make. There's so much of life that stands in the way. Families, money, debt, rent, mortgages, jobs, bosses, commitments, emotional entanglements. Perhaps it's not just too much. It's just too much. But nonetheless, it is a trigger. In this perspective, in the Beard, Kelly, Gonzalez perspective, in my own perspective, the cell has been stimulated through too much stress, oxidative chemical stress, biomechanical stress, chemical stress, psychological stress, everything that sympathetic dominance is about, that cell explodes. Only this cell chooses, for reasons we won't get into today, not to become apoptotic, not to become senescent, but to become malignant, trophoblastic, to simply try to reinvent itself, to live healthy, but it doesn't know how to do it. Funny. People that come to the other side of cancer. Funny, Donald Kelly had a deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual, a functionally spiritual, not a dogmatically spiritual. Not we go to church on Sunday and pray and talk and do Bible study and recite lines. No. Taking those lines in the Bible and putting them to use within your body so that the divine in the cell could reincarnate, could reconfigure, could reconstruct to make new again, the body. Funny how people that get through these will testify that something was spiritually awakened. I ask you to link that to the science here. Link that to the perspective. And to his dying day, Kelly would look at you. I know this for a fact. I have followed Kelly for 20 years. Kelly would look at you and determine if the spirit was moving within you. It was an important pentameter, a variable. And if he saw you strictly in the dead orthodoxy of the suffocation of science, in the dead orthodoxy of the suffocation of science, that which suffocates the soul, if misinterpreted, not the true science, the dead science. If he saw that in your face, he knew you wouldn't heal. I can guarantee you that. I know the people. I've spoken to them. And if you study the life of Kelly, the spiritual aspect to the science that brought Robert Good to analyze this, the science that nominated John Beard in 1912 for the Nobel Prize, see my links at the top, the science had a spirituality to it. There was an alchemy to it. That alchemy, that spirit, has been taken away from you, the consumer, John Q. Public, who knows little of trophoblastic theory. And that's the dilemma you face today. This is why your doctors in their white coats cross their arms. These clones have drank the Kool-Aid and they don't even know it. Truly, this is a mess. So let's remember Donald Kelly here. And let's remember a perspective. Now, Kelly went on, as Beard went on, to the second step. And that was the injection or the ingestion of pancreatic enzyme. Why doesn't, in uterine development, in embryonic development, why doesn't the placenta grow into some giant watermelon Why doesn't it eat the whole person, so to speak? Why doesn't it digest the woman's entire uterus? Why doesn't it eat the baby if it's a malignancy? Beard understood it was the pancreatic enzyme, the trypsin. The enzymes that the pancreas makes limit the growth of the placenta. The supervision to the malignancy was to be found in pancreatic enzyme. And this is what Beard was injecting into animals to kill their tumors. And that was hard science. That was hard enough to take him to the Nobel Prize. These are the days of Madame Curie killing tumors with radiation, not to mention herself eventually. This is in the days of hard science, as hard as it was today. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they were all there. They gathered the best and the brightest, Pasteur, Metchnikov. On the back of this pancreatic enzyme notion that the pancreas of the mother, the pancreas of the evolving baby, is producing enzyme, proteolytic enzymes, enzymes that digest. That's what your enzymes to do. Today, as an adult, you eat a steak. If you've got pancreatic enzymes, the trypsin ultimately digests that piece of meat. That trypsin, that pancreatic enzyme, circulates throughout your body. Yes, it does. It looks for little tumors. It eats them. You've heard the expression. A person is producing cancer every single day. Hey, Jack, did you know that? You've produced as much cancer today and you have every day for the last 30 years, except you don't have a tumor because your body identifies it and eats the cancer cell. There's absolutely no pathologist worth his salt that would disagree with that statement. What Kelly was saying, what Beard was saying is, it is the strength of the pancreas, pancreatic enzyme, that eats these tumors. That it supervises this uncontrolled differentiation, that the two are in balance with each other, so the placenta doesn't grow. And how did they prove this? Well, Kelly proved it on himself. Beard took trypsin and injected it into animals to make sure that the hydrochloric acid of the stomach didn't break down the trypsin. He bypassed the stomach through the intravenous system. And he saw the tumors disappear. That's big. That's real big. Now, Donald Kelly chose to create pancreatic enzymes derived from pig. Now, he was enormously meticulous about this. These pancreatic enzymes derived from the pig, he ate them in conjunction with yours truly, the coffee enemas. And in conjunction with the coffee enemas and the pig enzymes, Donald Kelly saw his tumors disappear. I'll throw a curveball at you, but you'll appreciate it and love it. He had to use the coffee enema. Just like Gerson, he had to use the coffee enema because when the tumors dissolved, when the proteolytic trypsins ate the tumors and the tumors shrank, the toxic residue of the tumor digestion could kill a person. And believe me, toxic residues can kill a person. They can put your kidneys or your liver into coma. So you had to get that garbage out of the blood or you'd get so sick you wouldn't want to live. And Kelly, therefore, had to clean the bile ducts. Clean the bile ducts and clean the bile ducts. But you, my wonderful audience, you can understand now the integration. That makes sense to you. A light goes on in your head. You're integrating. You are integrating medicine. If you can integrate it, you can heal. You can navigate. You can use your soul and your common sense and piece it together. And that's the point of this show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you're not there, you must get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're completely confused and lost and you can't figure your way out, get your body's health in tune, you know the number, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. So Donald Kelly cures his cancer with pancreatic enzyme. No, that doesn't mean go out and buy your enzymes and do it. That means just listen and take this more deeply into yourself. That means when people say don't eat cooked food because it'll burn your pancreas out, that says when different shows, different doctors tell you to take digestive enzymes and eat your food barely cooked, there is enormous sense to that. That says that Donald Kelly said one of the reasons we've seen cancer spike is because the farm no longer offers the organ, that any farmer knows that the power is in the organ system. Nobody eats organ anymore because the animals are so filthy. But if we ate liver, if we ate pancreas, if we ate the heart, if we ate the brain, how disgusting, how inhuman. Only savages do that. You see? Only illiterate, stupid, ignorant, non-educated savages would eat the organs. Listen, gang, if you know anybody that thinks that, knock them over the head and tell them to wake up. Really. Tell them to wake up. Just a little bit of education takes us back just only a few hundred years ago to current day. Anybody on a farm knows that if the animal's clean, the first thing we go for are the organs. Google up the word sweetbreads. Sweetbread is the word for pancreas. We have always eaten pancreas. Kelly postulated that it was the absence of this tradition, recipes for eating sweetbread, that in part created so much more cancer. That we were eating pancreatic enzyme, even if we cooked it. So there's much anthropology to this. There's much science to this. There's much clinical proof to this. How much more do you need? And yet, where is this information disseminating? This is the first time probably you've heard of it. And that's the problem. Why aren't we thinking? Always, 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 it's the public that provides the edge. You're the public. It's your responsibility. Take it to the doctors. Do it yourself. Study it yourself and let it sink into yourself. Let's keep going. There's lots of data to download. So here we have the trophoblastic theory. Here we have pancreatic enzyme. Here we have Donald Kelly. And now we're going to move on to a part of his, well, a part of the Kelly perspective that didn't seem to be part of the perspective. At face, Donald Kelly's spirituality. I really want to harp on this just for a quick moment here. His spirituality was something that, well, when it was studied, it really wasn't part of his program as it was studied, as Nick Gonzalez studied it. By the way, if you go to picture number 18, it's just a beautiful picture of Nick Gonzalez as a young student, medical student with Donald Kelly. Picture number 18. That's young Nick Gonzalez. He's already an MD, or very close, or who knows, maybe it's after he graduated. And he's studying with Donald Kelly, still doing the work. Nick Gonzalez, as I said, practices today. But go up above that. Go to picture number 12. Click up picture number 12. And I want you to go to the bottom of picture number 12. Because in this article, which you can read on your own, I want to point something out. It must be noted that Gonzalez, that the Gonzalez program is very similar to the Kelly program. So Nick Gonzalez evolved a program. Nick Gonzalez makes today his own brand of pancreatic enzyme. Donald Kelly, like Joanna Budwig with the flax, was extremely precise about his pig enzyme. And again, keep this in mind. When your counselor, when your medical counselor, whether it's an MD or whoever it is, criticizes these perspectives and says, you know, I gave my pig enzyme to my patient and my patient didn't do better. Or I tried it myself from some company's pig enzyme. Please understand that that's the kind of observation, that's the type of conclusion that doesn't warrant even the words it's used. Please understand that any time a paradigm, whether it's the Gerson therapy, whether it's the Brzezinski therapy, whether it's the Gonzalez therapy, whether it's the Kelly therapy, is duplicated. That's the point. It's duplicated, but by who? Using what? Every single time. And it is not for monetary gain. It is not for monetary gain. If Nick Gonzalez has his own line of pancreatic enzyme and tells you this is the stuff, there is a reason for that. If Donald Kelly, who was maniacal about the quality of that enzyme, tells you you have to use this, it is not for monetary gain. It is because there are details. And if you've ever enjoyed the wonder of the herbs from Premier Research Labs, I can tell you firsthand the amount of energy, of meticulousness, of devotion to importing herbs and making sure they are not diffused, destroyed, irradiated, carcinated, so on and so forth, is unbelievable. The amount of precision and devotion you have to give from the time the plant is born to the time the plant goes into your belly is deep. It is a deep devotion. When you study the Kelly protocol, when you hear people have done and simulated his work and they didn't get the result and therefore it's bunk, understand those people rarely know how to duplicate the result. That shouldn't be too hard to understand. Often you'll read about Donald Kelly. His work was da-da-da-da-da, and we just couldn't come up with the same result, and therefore the best researchers from Harvard, and how can you get bigger and better than Harvard, have determined that Donald Kelly's work was marginal in its result, that it didn't correlate with what Nick Gonzalez studied firsthand under the supervision, okay, and approval of Dr. Robert Good. Understand the slant on this. Of course their results don't replicate. They don't know what they're doing. If there's ego here, then the only ego here is to understand that when a man saves his own life and learns through trial and error what it takes to get the job done, at some point, he just gets fed up with teaching. It's too much. Before it's submitted fully, it's already. Donald Kelly suffered the life of 10 normal men. Read another link, that relationship between Gonzalez and Kelly. It's not the one I put on the squares. It's one I put up top on the link. Read that. It's out of the Townsend letter. These people suffer because they're on the cusp of creative thought. And on top of that, they've got to take the time and spend the energy and the meticulous amidst the criticism, amidst the scandal, amidst the lawsuits, to with complete and total precision teach everybody to the T. So that if some bimbo runs a study to verify its authenticity, under the attack, under the gun, that doctor is going to make sure that that bimbo far, far, far away is going to be supervised thoroughly. You need to get into reality so you can understand why a protocol like Kelly has not been given its due. Even Gonzalez has had trouble replicating Kelly's results. And I know this for a fact. I know this firsthand. Even Gonzalez, as devoted he was and respectful, and Gonzalez deserves much respect, he sacrificed a very comfortable, wealthy existence. Believe me, Nick Gonzalez sacrificed that because he was hit as a young man with something that went right to the core of his soul. That is to be respected. But I bring it to this page, page number 12, because really it isolates and identifies the difference between the two, at least from the external perception of this author. There it is. It's asterisked. Page number 12, the square. It must be noted that Gonzalez, that the Gonzalez program is very similar to the Kelly program, but not identical. That's the key. The Gonzalez program has dispensed with the spirituality component. There it is again. There it is again. There it is again. I would give you an award. I would give you a box of Carl Legend, but I'm not going to. Because it would disgust me to do that. I'm just going to ask you to get on the website and tell me what that spirituality component means in the context of science. You see, the Gonzalez program has dispensed with the spirituality component. What does that mean from the standpoint of science? What does that really mean? Oh, yes, Nick Gonzalez was more a scientist than Donald Kelly. And under the supervision of Robert Good, his program, under the observation, the close scrutiny of the AMA, the FDA, the FTC, the FDA, everybody, he had to maintain even a stricter scientific protocol. And so even if he didn't want to, he had to dispense with the spirituality component. What is and what does that mean in the context of hard science? That's the crux of the entire statement here today. That is what we've been coming to. That's what all 140 of my shows ask you to consider. Science is myopic. Science is seeing the cell through a slant. Originally, the great minds of science were alchemists. They believed in God, truly, not in church on Sunday, but in the functionality of their profession. And they saw a different science. Just ask John Beard. Just ask Metchnikov. Just ask your early scientists. And as you shiver, and as you neurose, and as you shake about a world that seems to be on some levels declining amidst all these wonderful advances in technology, trust yourself and take that to science today. Take that to the advice you're getting each and every day from the men in white. Because in their innocence, and I will use the word innocence, they just don't know. Their own science has been polluted. So I ask you, that spiritual component, what does that mean? Now, I've given you enough time. So let's rephrase. The Gonzalez program has dispensed with the spirituality component. The Gonzalez program has dispensed with the need for the patient to understand how to shift into the parasympathetic state. The Gonzalez program does not ask, does not implore, does not successfully articulate that for you to live through your disease, you need to learn to relax. Oh, yeah, I know how to relax. I sat at the pool, and I drank the pina colada. You went on vacation. You spent more time with your grandkids, your children. This is not what we're talking about. Excuse me for the slight sarcasm. This is not what it means to relax. What it means to relax is to become like your animal, like your cat, that shakes and shivers, that takes a breath while it yawns and feels the current, the spiritual current flow from its brain to its tail and back to its brain. That lives the electromagnetic science of the body. Your animals live it. That's what the Gonzalez program has failed. And that's no criticism of the Gonzalez program. It is so difficult to get this to people. Have I succeeded in getting it to you? Perhaps you need to have cancer and heal your own to be really good at giving this to someone. Perhaps that's what people that know more are capable of doing. Well, Donald Kelly understood it. I can tell you that. I can tell you for a fact that Donald Kelly's programs worked because Donald Kelly learned it. He learned to connect to that inner light. And when he worked with you, and when he supervised you, and when you looked into his eyes, go ahead, look at his pictures. I put the pictures of him there for a reason. Look at the face of that man. Go to picture number 19 and look at the face of that man. That is a face of a man who is transformed spiritually. He is electrically lit. If that is not you, if you are sick, if you are apoptotic, if you are senescent, if you are malignant, and you do not turn the light on in the being of you, forget it. It doesn't work. You will never separate healing, natural healing, from that process. That's why your scientists can never validate things like Donald Kelly's program. Last word to you today, the Holwang Clinic. Go down to picture number 30, the Holwang Clinic. Look at picture number 30, that's Germany. Hallwang Clinic. Let me give you a phone number. The Hallwang Clinic, 011-497-443-964-240. 011-497-443-964-240. Talk to Carolina. Talk to Melanie. Do not call our office and ask us for that number. I give you a website. Or call Nick Gonzalez's office, 212-213-3337. 212-213-3337. You have options. Take those options. Think outside the box. You are not a peasant. You are not a starving, dying peasant in the year 1070. Two pictures to look at, 31 and 32. That's Dr. Kopic and Dr. Vogel at the Hallwang Clinic. They do things that America will do in 20 years. The Germans are ahead. Look at the last three pictures, 33, 20, 34, 35. That's Peter Trahern, T-R-A-Y-H-U-R-N. Secondhand, I know Peter personally. Peter was given up 5 years ago for stage 4 rectal cancer. Peter is alive and well today. That's him today, or more or less today. Picture number 35, I conclude. Peter saved his life. So can you. I'm done. 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll see you next week.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.